The series this month has been on the I Am Sayings of Jesus. The I Am Sayings of Jesus. And tonight, we're going to study the saying that Jesus said, I am the true vine. So, let's turn to John chapter 15. We're going to read verses 1 through 8. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Jesus says, I am the true vine. And as we read this, I'm gonna comment on each scripture, scripture by scripture. So let's start at verse 1 of John 15. If you have a Bible, you can turn there. If not, I'll read it to you. Okay. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. God the Father is the land worker, the husbandman, the gardener who watches over his vineyard, the church. God is always watching over you and me, friend. His eyes are always upon us. He is always with us. There's nothing that we ever do that He does not know about. Verse 2 says, He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. The branches here are what? The branches being talked about are Christians. And he says here in verse 2 that he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. In other words, every Christian that bears no fruit is cut off. You know, a lot of people out there call themselves Christians, but they're only nominal Christians. They're only nominal branches. Nominal means by name only. They call themselves Christian. They give themselves the name of Christian, but they're really not following Jesus Christ. And those that are nominal Christians, that are not serious about Christ, will be what? Cut off if they're bearing no fruit of Christ-likeness. While every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. What kind of fruit is Jesus talking about in the latter part of verse 2, John chapter 15? He's talking about the fruit of Christ-likeness. The fruit of Christ-likeness. If you're a true follower of Jesus Christ, if Jesus Christ is truly your Savior and your Lord, you will evidence Christ-likeness in your life. And one of the areas of Christ-likeness that you might evidence is forgiveness. You know, even those who are following Christ that are true Christians sometimes mess up. You know, sometimes the sin nature may try to tug on them. But when the sin nature tries to tug on those true Christians, God in His way knows how to prune those so that those Christians become even more fruitful. Okay, verse 3. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Now here's the repeating theme. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So Jesus, in verses 3 through 4, talks about remaining in Him. This word remain could also be defined as abiding in Him, dwelling in Him, continuing in Jesus Christ, continuing in fellowship with Jesus Christ. It says, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. In other words, we as Christians, true followers of Christ, must remain in the vine, Jesus Christ, because it is the vine that gives what to the branches? It is the vine that gives sap. It is the vine that gives nourishment, spiritual nourishment to the branches, to the Christians, those that claim they are followers of Christ. It says, you can't bear fruit unless you remain in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, he repeats it, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, we can do nothing. You can do nothing. See, the branch remains, you know, in a natural vine, the branch remains in the vine, right? It's tied to the vine. And the vine's sap abides in the branch so that there is constant communication between the vine and the branch, between the grapevine and the branch. Is that making sense? Yes. There's constant communication. There is constant fellowship. And Jesus says that apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from Christ, We are spiritually powerless. We can do nothing. We have no spiritual power against the enemy's attacks if we're not remaining, abiding, continuing, fellowshipping with Jesus Christ. Is that making sense tonight? All right, let's turn to verse 6. If anyone does not remain or abide or dwell or continue in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. What is Jesus trying to say in verse 6? Anyone who does not remain in Christ, in fellowship with Christ, or backslides, walks out of fellowship with Christ, withers spiritually. That person starts to dry up spiritually if they walk away from Christ. So you tonight might be walking with Christ, and maybe your Christian walk has gotten really tough. And maybe the enemy has been lying to you. He is a liar and the father of lies, the Bible says in John chapter 8. He's been lying to you. And maybe you're thinking about walking away from Christ, but friends, I'm here to tell you tonight that if you even entertain that thought and think about walking away from Christ, you will wither and dry up spiritually. You will have no power against the enemy and his temptations. And then he says in the last part of verse 6, such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. What does that sound like? Those that walk away from Christ, those that do not abide and remain and continue in Christ, not only wither spiritually, but eventually they will be burned up. To me, that sounds like eventually the person who walks away from Christ eventually will be burned up eternally in hell. I don't want to go there. How about you? I want to be in heaven with one day with Jesus and with God forever and ever. How about you? You want to be in heaven eternally one day, friend, then you've got to abide, you've got to remain, you've got to dwell, you've got to continue in fellowship with Jesus Christ, God the Son of God. Amen? Amen? Don't let the enemy lie to you and say it's not worth following Christ. Walk away from him. Shove him out of your life. Don't listen to the enemy's lies. It is worth following Christ. He will give you spiritual strength, energy to fight the enemy's attacks, and one day you will find yourself in heaven. Verse 7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. Now, Jesus Christ in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, repeats this theme of remaining in him, of abiding in him, and him abiding in us. And that's kind of an abstract concept. It's an out there concept. How do I remain in Christ? How do I abide in Christ? How do I continue in Christ? And Jesus Christ gives us the key in verse 7. He says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. How do we remain and abide in Christ? How do we make this concept concrete? Jesus makes it concrete. We abide in Christ, we remain in Christ by allowing His words to abide and remain in us. In other words, we abide and continue in Christ by abiding and continuing in His words. Amen. Is that making sense tonight? Yes. Let me say it again. We abide in Christ, we remain in Christ, we continue in Christ by allowing His words, His word, to abide and remain in us. By abiding and remaining in His words, we're abiding and remaining in Christ. Making sense tonight? Right. All right. You know, and it says in verse 8, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. Bear what kind of fruit? Bear the fruit of Christ-likeness, showing yourselves to be my disciples. If we remain in Christ by remaining in His Word, guess what? We will bear fruit of Christ-likeness. And the world will look at us and say, there's something different about that person. There's something different about her. There's something different about him. This person is a servant. This person steps out beyond himself. I want what that person has. And As the person sees you and sees that you step out beyond yourself, guess what? It brings glory to God. That person says, there's something different about you. What do you have that I don't have? And you can tell them, I have Jesus Christ. I abide and I remain in Christ.
Amen.
And when the person sees that you're different from the world, when the world out there sees that you're different from them, it brings glory to God the Father. It shows that you are truly disciples of Christ. Amen?
Amen?
All right. Let's go back to verse 7 for a second. On how we remain in Christ. We remain in Christ. We abide in Christ by remaining and abiding in His what?
His Word.
His Word. His Word. His words. Amen. Okay, now. You know, if you're hanging around with the world, people who are in the world that are not following Christ, and they're cussing, and their language is like a sewer, right? And they're telling dirty jokes. And you're fellowshipping with those people. You're hanging around them. You're spending a lot of time with those people that talk like the world, that cuss, and that tell dirty jokes. Guess what? Eventually, their words will rub off on you. To the point where you may start speaking those same types of words. But we don't want to do that, right? We don't want to hang around those that cuss and those that tell dirty jokes. On the other hand, we want to be ones that abide and remain in which kinds of words? The words of Christ. We don't want to be influenced by the words of the world, right? We want to be influenced by the word of Christ, by the word of God. So let's turn to Colossians 3, verse 16. Colossians 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ. We talked about this recently. What does the word of Christ include, as Paul the Apostle writes? The word of Christ includes the Old Testament prophecies about Christ, their New Testament fulfillment, the words that Jesus spoke in the Gospels. It includes the epistles. In other words, the word of Christ includes the entire Bible. And Paul the Apostle writes, let the word of Christ dwell in you. How do you let the word of Christ dwell, take up residence on the inside of you? By reading it. How many here have the ability to see? God has given you the gift of two eyes, these eye gates, right? In order to let the word of Christ dwell in you and in me, we've got to be reading it not once in a blue moon, not just once in a while, but on a consistent basis, day after day, week after week, month after month. How many here like to eat breakfast once a month? No, right? You like to eat breakfast daily, correct?
Yeah.
Why? Because it gives you daily strength for the tasks that you face. It's the same way with the Word of God. You know what? This Word, the Word of Christ, the Word of God, is your spiritual breakfast. So start eating it. Start reading it every single morning, just like you eat ham and eggs and oatmeal, toast, on a consistent basis every morning. Could you say amen to that? All right, so he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you. You let it dwell in you by reading it daily. Not just reading it, but meditating upon what you read. In other words, thinking about what you read. You may not be able to read three or four chapters a day, but you might be able to read three or four scriptures a day. When you read those three or four scriptures a day, think about, meditate on what you read. What does a cow do with its cud? That's it. He pulls it back up. He chews it, digests it, brings it back up and down, up and down. He chews the cud. We're to chew on the word, on the cud of the word of God. Joshua 1:8. It's a famous scripture. You may have heard it before, but let me read it quickly. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Or do not let the word of God depart from your mouth here in the New Covenant. Meditate on it once in a while. No, meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. So we've got to let the word of Christ dwell in us by reading it. Amen?
Amen.
And then he says in Colossians 3:16, let it dwell in you richly, abundantly. How do you let the word of Christ dwell in you richly and abundantly? By reading it every day and by meditating upon it. You know, the books that we read, the magazines we read, the words that we read and hear condition the way we think. Would you agree?
Yes, sir.
Why not let the best words, the words of Christ, condition and influence how you think? Why not let the Word of God influence your attitude on a daily basis? But in order to allow the Word of Christ, the Word of God, to influence the way you think, for it to influence and condition your attitude, you've got to be in it day after day after day. You've got to store it up in your heart. Amen?
Amen.
And if you're reading the Word of Christ, the words of Christ, on a consistent basis, you will bear much fruit, as Jesus talked about in John chapter 15. You will bear the fruit of Christ likeness. Jesus Christ is sinless. If we remain in His Word, we will become more Christ-like. What does the psalmist write in Psalm 119, verse 11? 119, verse 11, he says this, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. In other words, so that I may become more godly, more Christ-like. I have hidden God, your word, Jesus, I have hidden your words in my heart so that I might become more godly, more Christ-like. John chapter 8, Jesus repeats a similar theme. John chapter 8, if you're there, he says this. Quickly. He says in verse 32 of John 8, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Set you free from what? In context, the truth of God's word, the truth of Christ's word will set you free from the stranglehold, from the stronghold that sin may have over your life, so that you become more Christ-like, more godly, holy like God is holy. Amen?
Amen.
For instance, if you've got the word of God in you, let's say that one day you stub your big toe, or somebody says something to really irritate you, right? And all at once, a four-letter word wants to pop out of your mouth. Immediately, the word of Christ stored up on the inside of you pops out of your spirit and says this. Remember Ephesians 4:29. Do not let unwholesome talk proceed from your mouth. And you think about it. I just read that scripture. I'm not going to let that four-letter word come out of my mouth. See, you're letting the Word of Christ, the Word of God, condition the words that you speak. You're becoming more Christ-like with your words. Philippians 4, verse 8. Philippians 4, 8. This is Paul the Apostle writes. He says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, pure, lovely, admirable, praiseworthy, think about such things. Speak about such things. In other words, talk about things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, praiseworthy. These are all Christ-like qualities. And if you're in the Word of Christ, in the Word of God, these good words will proceed out of your mouth, right?
Amen.
Say, for instance, that you've just overcome an alcoholic addiction. Right? And you see somebody drinking a glass of wine and you're tempted. You're like, man, that glass of wine is sparkling. It looks so good. And you're tempted to have somebody pour you a glass of wine. Right? You're like, man, I just want to do it. But then you remember the Word of Christ stored up on the inside of you. Yes, I remember 1 Corinthians 3:16 that my body is a temple of God. So my spirit, God, thank you for reminding me of 1 Corinthians 3:16. I'm not even going to look at that wine. I'm not going to touch that wine. And what are you doing? You are doing what is Christ-like with your body. You're letting the Word of Christ in 1 Corinthians 3:16 condition what you do with your body. Amen?
Amen.
Letting it influence your thoughts and your attitude and what you do with your life. And you know, you may be tempted to hang around with the wrong crowd. Maybe you're getting away from the wrong crowd. People that cuss, people that lie, people that are just so entrenched in the world. And maybe you're tempted to go back into that crowd. And all at once, the Word of Christ stored up deeply on the inside of you comes out and you remember. I remember reading 2 Corinthians 6:14. Don't be yoked together with unbelievers. Thank you, God, for reminding me of 2 Corinthians 6:14. And you decide not to hang around with the crowd that you just came out of. Is that making sense today?
Amen.
You're letting the Word of Christ, the Word of God, condition your relationships, your associations. And let me give you a personal story from my own life of how the Word of Christ caused me to become more Christ-like and conditioned my attitude. I've done a lot of missionary work in the country of India. How many ever have ever been to India? Anybody here? Brother in the back. Good. Okay. Been to India 10 times, and in the summer of 04, I was in India again. So I was in India, and from India, I went to the Philippines I was in the Philippines first, and with a team, then went to India. But before I went on that trip, in June of 04, I believe it was that month, there was a friend of mine who was holding the Monday night service at the Salvation Army. And I happened to be on the phone with his wife in June of 04, and she said, "Jonathan, we're pretty much moving out of town. We need somebody to take that service." And immediately I said, "I'll take it." So she was like, "That's great." So we set it up that I would take it. So shortly after that, I went to India, the Philippines, then to India. And while I was there, the word of Christ kept coming up in my spirit, Acts 1:8. "But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And when I talked to the wife of this friend of mine in June of 04, that scripture was on my heart. And when I was in the Philippines and in India, that scripture, Acts 1:8, was on my heart. And God was speaking to me. He was saying, "Jonathan, you've been going to the ends of the earth. You've been going to India for many years, bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ there, being a witness of Jesus Christ in India. But you've got to start concentrating now more on your own Jerusalem, which is Tulsa, Oklahoma." And so came back from India in August of 04, and in September of 04, I took on that service every other Monday night at the Salvation Army. And it became a consistent thing every Monday night in 07. And here I am tonight ministering the Word of God to you. So Jesus is all about what? He's all about serving others. He's about stepping out of himself. He's about doing good to others. And I took that word from Acts 1:8 to be a witness of Jesus Christ within my own Jerusalem. I've been doing it ever since 04 here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. With God's strength, I've tried to be Christ-like in this area, serving those less fortunate at the shelters here in downtown Tulsa. And so in that area, the Word of Christ conditioned my life, my serve. Is that making sense? And if He did it for me, He can do it for you as well, friend. And finally, to close it off tonight, He says this in John 15, verse 7. He says, turn to John 15, verse 7. He says this. He says, "Ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. Ask whatever you wish in accordance with the Word of Christ stored up on the inside of you." And if you ask according to God's Word, it will be given to you. So tonight, if you're facing sickness in your life, and you're abiding in Christ by abiding in His Word, you can say, "Jesus, I thank You that Your Word, God, I thank You that Your Word says in Isaiah 53, verse 5, that by Your wounds, Your stripes, I am healed. And God, I claim Your healing, Your physical healing upon my life." God, I'm speaking this, I'm praying this in accordance with Your Word in Isaiah 53. And it will be given to you, Jesus said in John 15:7. Amen? Amen? That makes sense tonight. Amen. So how do you abide in Christ? How do you remain in Christ? By abiding and remaining in His Word, letting His Word dwell richly on the inside of you by reading it consistently, meditating upon it, letting it condition and influence your thoughts and your attitude. Amen? Amen.